Today's moment scene of Membeis, remember the mission on the top of the Omer. Hamafkin ma yiseitzel chaver, someone who gives money to his friend to watch as a shomer. And this shomer was not responsible for the money. Tzoron, he wraps it up. Viv shilin la achayrev and swings it over his shoulder. And it got stolen. Or, instead of swinging it over his shoulder, what he did was he gave it to his children who were ktanim, they were not gedalim. But he wanted to make sure it had some level of shmira, because, you know, just giving it to little kids is not the greatest idea. So he locked the door in front of them, but it wasn't a good locking, meaning they could have gotten out, because it was shalei karoi. It wasn't 100% the best way he could have locked them in. They had a way out, but he did some type of shmira over there. Either way, this is not the best way to watch it, whether you swing it over your shoulder, whether you give it to your kids, and you don't lock the door properly, and therefore he's going to be chayiv. Shalei shimer kederach ha-shomer, because he wasn't shomer, he did not do a proper shmira, kederach ha-shomerim, like shomerim are supposed to, like the derech of shomerim, that would be considered normal. He did less and inferior than that, and therefore he's going to be chayv. Ve'im shimer kederach ha-shomerim, however, if he did a proper shmira, like the regular shomerim, then the Mishnah says he's going to be potter. Zok the Gemara, Bishlam Makulu. I understand in the other cases in the Mishnah that he's going to be chayiv shalei shimer kederach ha-shomerim. Elo tzran mevshin la'achayrav ma'havada de'mebar. Why is he chayiv in the case where he wrapped it up and swung it over his shoulder? Isn't that the way you carry things? Meaning, why is that so bad? The Gemara is just trying to understand. So Amar Rava says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, I'll tell you why. It's actually learnt out of a pasuk, because Amar Kad the pasuk says, Mitzarta hakesef biyodecha. This is talking about bringing Maaser Sheni money to Yerushalayim, but the point is that we're learning a drasha from this pasuk. Mitzarta hakesef biyodecha, that af al pi shetzrurin yu biyodecha. That even though they're wrapped up in their clothes, yu biyodecha. They shouldn't be behind you. They shouldn't be swung over your shoulder, but rather yu biyodecha. They should be in your hand. And therefore, if the shomer didn't do that, that's actually considered a pshiyav. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak continues teaching us different financial Yesoidus that we should all have. A person should always be heavy on cash. A person should always have cash. He should always be liquid, and he shouldn't have it always tied up in different places. As Rashi says, he should always have it in his hand. He shouldn't deposit it in some foreign bank account. So if he finds a good deal, and if he gets a good deal, he's going to have cash that he's able to jump on it. If you have all your cash tied up all the time, you're not going to be able to act on a good deal when it comes to you, and they don't come every day. And therefore, it's like telling you, a good aside, you should always have your cash very liquid and matzli, so you're ready for that situation. As the pasuk says, have the money in your hand. It's like another aside. Of a person should always split his investments and what he does with his money into thirds. What should he do? Shlish bekarka. A third of it he should buy real estate, karka. Shlish beprakmatia. Another third he should do business with, a little more risky, but in the end of the day you gotta risk it to get the biscuit. Shlish tachas yodoy. And the other third he should have cash, again, because you're gonna need cash. Says, bracha is only shari on something that's summoned in my eye, that's concealed from the eye. Shnemar, the pasuk says, Yitzav Hashem itcho es habracha ba'asamecha. Ba'asamecha literally means storage houses. Ba'asamecha, we're learning that it's from lashon of samui, covered over. That word you have bracha, something that's not shown to the public, something that's more discreet and quiet, and less ayin hara, that's where you're going to have the bracha, something that's samim in ayin. Rabbi Yitzchak says, in a bracha mitzui, ala b'davar ha-samim in ayin, sh'nemer yitzav ha-shem yitcha, es ha-bracha ba-samecha, that's Rabbi Yitzchak, and Tanya the Rabbi Shmuel, very similar, just learned out a little bit differently, that in a bracha mitzui, ala b'davar she'in ha-ayin shalet, this way, that where is the bracha? The bracha only applies to something that the ayin is not shalit by, that you can't see. What does that mean? How do we learn that? Shnemer is the pasuk says, Yitzav Hashem itcho es habracha ba'asamecha, same pasuk, but he's taking it literally, in the storehouses. You don't see inside of it, and therefore, it's something that's eino ein shaletas. By the ein, you can't even see it, and therefore, that's where you're going to have the bracha being shalet. Zok the Gemara v'ayter, Tan Rabbanu we have a braisa, on this note, that the bracha is only shari on something, bracha only applies itself to something that's concealed from the ein, something that's on the DL, and not in your face in public. Tan Rabbanu, we have a braisa on the note that ha'hoylich lamud es groina. Someone who's going to count up his tvuah. So he's going at the end of the season to see how well his produce did. So he's going to count in his storage houses. So Omer, what he should say before he goes, meaning on his way there, he should say like this. He should say a bracha or a tefillah. Yiratzon b'menecha Hashem Elokeinu, shetishlach bracha b'maaseh yadeinu. Yiratzon Kadosh Baruch Hu, send bracha b'maaseh yadeinu. Hitchil lamud. Once he starts counting, he should make a bracha. And you should say, Omer, so he's already counting, so you shouldn't daven explicitly that it should be a lot and there should be a lot of bracha, but he should say baruch hashelech bracha b'kriya zeh. The Rishonim say this is a bracha b'shem u'machos. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam hashelech bracha b'kriya zeh, who sends bracha within this pile. Madad But the Brisa continues that once he already madad, once he already counts it, if he makes a bracha after he already counted it and he knows how much it is, then that's a tefillah shav, because once you know the number, it's not samim and ayin, it's not hidden anymore. Once you don't know the number, calls man that you don't know, you're on your way to count, then you daven. You daven, yiratzon shetishlach bracha b'maisi adenu. You make a bracha while you're counting, bracha shalech bracha b'kriya zeh. But calls man, after you counted, meaning once you already counted, you know the number, it's not anymore something that's summing in the eye, and it's not something that's concealed, and therefore, bracha is not matzah on something that's shakl, something that's weighed, something that's counted, something that's counted, madad is different type of counting, it's more with a kli, but the point is, it's only shoroi on something that's hidden from the eye. Shemar, as the pasuk says, Amar Shmuel said, ksafim, money, cash, as it relates to shmira, meaning when someone is given it, as we saw in the Mishnah, that a shomer is supposed to watch money, so what's considered the proper shmira that he's supposed to do for this money? So Shmuel says that ksafim inlem shmira ala bakarka, the only way to properly watch ksafim, cash, is to bury it. And if you did anything else besides for burying it, then you are posheya if something happens to it and you're going to be chayv. Amar Rav says, Umayde Shmuel, and Shmuel's going to be mayde, ve'erev Shabbos b'in ha-shmashas d'leah t'chuhu rabbanan. That if someone gave you the money to watch right before Shabbos, or Shabbos b'nei Nishmashas, or right before that, but either way, he gave it to you right before Shabbos that you didn't really have time to go to your backyard and start digging, then Shmuel's ma'idah that you're not going to be chayav in that case, because the Rabbanan weren't matriach you to do that right before Shabbos. Vim shalom matzah Shabbos, however, shir l'mikberinu v'leikavrinu mechayev. However, if once matzah Shabbos hit, Shabbos is over, and enough time passed by that after Shabbos you would have had the ability to go and dig your hole and go and bury it, and you still didn't, then you're actually going to be chayav if something happens. Says the Gemara v'itzam Rabbananu. However, if the mafkid, if the one who gave you this catch to watch, if he was a tzur of Rabbanan, if he's a Talmud Chacham, then Savar, then we could assume that the Nifgad, the one meaning the Shomer who's supposed to be watching this money, we could assume that he was assuming Savar Dilma Mibay Lady Zuzi Lavdalta. He felt, you know, I'm not going to bury you the second Shabbos ends because that guy just gave me all his cash. Maybe it's going to hit Matzah Shabbos. He's going to need wine for Abdullah. And he might come back to me needing some of his cash to go and buy wine for Abdullah. And therefore, he left it a little bit even after Shabbos passed. So if he's Tzurvim Rabbanan, he has that right to leave it out a little bit, and he doesn't have to necessarily bury it right away as soon as he has the opportunity to on Matzah Shabbos. Says Gemara, in the Shchichi Gshushoy, Gshushoy. And nowadays that Gshushoy are common, which are people who go around the land and they stick holes in it, they go around with metal detectors basically and try to find all the treasures hidden in your backyard. So nowadays that you have these Gshushoy, then Ein Lahem Shmira Ela B'Shmei Kara. Then the ground is not a good place to hide it anymore because you have these people that hop on. And therefore, the only way to properly watch cash is to put it in your ceiling. And the Gemara continues, however, after that, even in the Shchicha Prumai, nowadays that there are Prumai, these are people who know how to get into the roofs. They break the roofs and get inside and find the money. So where should you put it? Between the bricks in the wall. Rava says, Shmuel is going to be mind that anywhere you put it in the wall is going to be good enough. You don't specifically have to put it between the bricks. In the Shchichi Tfoichai, but nowadays that there's Tfoichai, that's another level. These people even check the walls. Then Ein Lam Shmira Ella B'Tefach HaSamach LaKarka Oy B'Tefach HaSamach LaShmei Kaira. Then the only way to do a proper Shmira is to put it in the wall, but not right in the middle, because they're going to check there these Tfoichai. And therefore what you should do is either put it on the Tefach that's close to the ceiling, or the Tefach that's close to the ground. Either way, not right in the middle of the wall, and that's no way to do the proper shmira these days for cash. We have a mission over there. Over there is Maseches Psachim, and this is very much in Yonah Deyayma. Chametz shenafla lamapoiles hareu kemevur. Chametz that a big mapoiles, a big wall crashed on top of it, and it's a big pile of stones, and you can't even get to it. That's kemevur. It's like it's already had its biur, its mevur min ha'olam, and you don't have to worry about it. There's no bal yirah. You're not going to be over with having chametz on Pesach, okay? Because you can't get to it. Rishon Gamliel says that I'll give you a gather. Kol she'ina kelev yochel l'chabisach. If a dog can't get to it, then you're not going to be chayv to try to get to it. If a dog can't get to it, then you don't either have to get to it. It's considered mevurim in ailam. V'tana, and we have in a brisa that kamo chafisas hakelev gimel tvachim. That how much is the chafisas hakelev? How much would a dog get to it? That's three tvachim. Once it's buried three tvachim down, then you don't have to worry about it anymore. But any less than that, it's going to be a problem because the dog could get to it. It says, what about over here? What are we going to say? Do we need three tefachim? Meaning when you have to dig it in the ground, let's say, or at least back in the day, before you had these shushoy that knocked in the floor. The point is that when you dug it in, do you also need to put it three tefachim deep or not? Oh, that doesn't apply over here. So you brought this Mishnah from Psachim to show you about chametz, that three tefachim is going to be the nafkamina. That's going to be the that's going to be the make it or break it. Does that apply over here? Do you need to put it dafka three tefachim in the ground to be considered a good shomer on the cash or not? So Amar Leir of Ashi answered back to Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rabbi Yosef that I'll tell you no, because hasa mishum recha. The only reason over there is because of the smell. The dog smells it, and therefore it needs to be even deeper. That's why being a shlosh tefachim, you need it to be all the way more than three tefachim, and then you're going to be good. But hacha over here mishumi kasuya me'eno. Over here it's just to hide it from the eye and loy. There's no smell about it. The ganav is not coming and smelling around, and therefore it's just to cover it over from the eye, and that's why you wouldn't need three tefachim. Okay, so how much do you need? Rafa misichra told us tefach. All you need is a tefach. There was a person that gave his friend money to watch. So he puts it in this hut made out of straw. So this was a place that was a proper shmira from Ganavim. They weren't going to get there. But at the end of the day, it's not the best place to put cash if a straw hut is very flammable. And therefore, what happened was, ignov. It actually got stolen. So Amar Beis said about this case, even though klape Ganavim, it is considered a good shmira, because whatever the case was, this straw hut was good enough against Ganavim, leaning Nura Pshusahi. And then the day he was Peshea because he put it in a place that could have burnt down very easily. So he was Peshea that a fire could have broken out. And therefore, even though a fire didn't break out and it got stolen, and the Gabi Ganavim, it actually was a good Shmira, still, since he put it in a place where it could have caught on fire, Have Tchilasa Bepshia Vesevavainis, it's a classic case of Tchilasa Bepshia. Because when he put it there, he was Peshea because it could have burnt up. Vesaiva Ba'inis, it was Ainis that happened because it got stolen, and it actually was a good Shmira against the Ganavim, and therefore you're going to be Chayiv. Says Gemara Vika Damri. Some have the exact opposite, that Afal Gavdalin and Nurab Shiusahi, that they said it a different lashon. That Rabbi Yosef said that even though Legabe fire he was Peshea, Linin Ganvin Itirusahi, and it's still considered a good Shmira against Ganavim, and therefore if it got stolen, it was a good Shmira against the Ganavim. Vitchas Bepshia was 7 minus Potter, and Tchas Bepshia was 7 minus, you're actually going to be Potter. So two different ways, whether he holds Tchas Bepshia 7 minus Chayef or Potter, Vehilchsa was the Alacha, Tchas Bepshia was 7 minus is going to be Chayef. How gaver the Afkid Zuzigabe Chaver? There was a person that gave his friend money to watch. Amale, Havli Zuzai. So he came back to him, I want my money back. Very nice. So Amale, he told him, I don't know where I put them. I'm very sorry, but I have no idea where it is. So Asuk made the Rava that came before Rava, and Rava later Rava said, anyone who says I don't know where it is, that's considered a pshia. Zil shleim, and therefore you have to go and you have to pay. There was a person that gave money to his friend to watch. So this person decided, meaning the Nifka, the Shomer, he was supposed to watch the money and he gave it to his mother to watch. The mother took it and put it in this drawer, whatever it was she used to keep the money. Vignuf. And then what happened was it got stolen. So Rava said, I'm not sure how to don this case. Because Hechin Dainu Dayone Lehaidino. How exactly should we don this case? Are we going to tell him to go pay? Because in the end of the day, who said you could give it to your mother? It's not so true because he's allowed to give it to his mother. Because Omar, he'll just say something we already learned together, that kola mafkid al das ishto yabonimu mafkid. Anyone who's mafkid money by someone or anything by someone who gives something to someone else to watch as a shaymer, so you're doing it al das that him and his whole family is going to watch it. And not only him himself. You know that this is a whole family geschäft and they're all going to do it together. And therefore, it's very reasonable that he gave it to his mother. He actually had the right to do that. So, are we going to tell the mother maybe she has to pay? So, Amra, she could just say it. He never told me that it wasn't his, meaning I thought it was my son's. My son didn't tell me that it wasn't his, that I would have gone and buried it and did a proper Shmira. Says Gemara, okay, but so maybe we should go back to the Shomer and tell him, so why didn't you tell your mother that it belonged to someone else, that she should go and bury it? So, Amar, he's just going to say that I'll tell you why I didn't, because if she thought that it actually belonged to me, she would actually be more careful with it. So the reason I didn't tell her that it belonged to someone else is because I actually wanted what's in the best interest for the mafka, the person who owns this money, because if she knows that this belongs to her son, she's going to be more careful with it, if anything, and that's why I didn't tell her. So Rava, that's what Rava said about Chiddush, that what we do in this case is mishtabe ihu. He has to make a shvua, meaning the original shomer, he has to make a shvua that he gave the money to his mother, mishtabe ime, and the mother also makes a shvua, that she put it into this drawer, and it got stolen, Potter. And they're both going to be Potter. Says the Gemara another story. There was an apotropis of Yisayimim. The Zavanu Tura Liyasmi. He bought a shor for the Yisayimim. Umasa the Bakar. And he gave it to this shepherd to be the shomer on this shor. So he thought this would be a good idea. He bought the shor, gave it to the shepherd in the name of the Yisayimim. But it turned out that this shor did not have teeth. and therefore couldn't eat, and because of that, umis, it died. It didn't have kachi, vishina, it didn't have inner teeth, outer teeth, and it died. So he thought he was going to getting a good deal over here on a shar. He bought a shar, a toothless shar, and the shar died because it couldn't eat. So what happens over here? So Rami Rami Rahama said, how exactly are the dayanim going to down this case? How do we down this case? Are we going to tell the apotropos to go and pay Amr? He could just say, I gave it over to the backer, I gave it over to the shepherd, and he should have checked it. Meaning, I don't know these things. The shepherd knows about shvarim. He should have checked it. He should know these things. I don't know these things. I just bought the shar, gave it to him. It's his responsibility. He should have checked it and told me, and I would have brought it back right away to the guy and claim mekachtos. Namely, the backer is Zilshlim. Okay, so what are we going to tell? We're going to tell the backer, we're going to tell the shepherd that he's responsible and he should pay. Omer, he's just going to say, I put it between my other shvarim. I threw before them, I gave them all food to eat, and they have yadina. I don't know that one specifically wasn't eating. I'm supposed to basically check inside his mouth. I put it between my animals. I did the normal thing I do, which is put food before them, and I didn't know that animal wasn't eating. So am I really responsible? Says the Gemara, hold on a second. Why not? Michti, let's see. Bakra Sharmi Sakhar, they asked me who. The Bakra, the shepherd, he's considered Sharmi Sakhar. He's getting paid for his job. So he's a Sharmi Sakhar for the assignment. And by the Yune, if he's a Sharmi Sakhar, then yeah, he should have actually been Ma'ayan and he should have realized. So he does have a component of responsibility over there. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what's going on. They asked me Al-Khanami. If the Yisayim actually lost out something over here, then yeah, then he would be Chayiv because he was a Sharmi Sakhar and he should have been Ma'ayan. V'Al-Khamayas, you know what's the case? We're talking about where the Yisayim did not lose anything out. How's that possible? Because the Ashkechin Alamari Deturah B'Shakul Yasmi Zuzimine. Because what happened was they found the original seller of the toothless shard and they got their money back because they claimed Mekachtos. So they found the original guy that sold them a shard. They told him, listen, your shard died because it didn't have teeth, couldn't eat. We didn't know that. That's Mekachtos 101. Inlecha Mekachtos Gedele Mizu. And therefore, they got their money back, so it's fine. And that's why the Sharmi Sakhar is not going to have to pay the assignment. Says Gemara, Ela Maika Tain. So if they got their money back, who exactly is tining money now that we're trying to figure out who is responsible? Says the Gemara, Mari Detura Katain. Interesting, but it's backwards. The Mari Detura, meaning the original seller of the shar with no teeth, he's tining now. What's his taina? Ipaile Leidan. He's Leiduan. He's saying, you should have let me know. Meaning, I sold you this shar, but as soon as you realize it didn't have teeth, he's telling the Shomer, you should have, or the Roya, you should have told me it has no teeth so I could have done something about it. I would have taken it back. I understand. Mekachtos, I didn't realize it didn't have teeth. I sold you a shard like this, but you should have told me before it died. Once you realized that it didn't have teeth, you should have realized that. You should have gave it back to me. Mekachtos, I'll give you the money back, but at least give it back to me in a state while it's alive. I could epis do something with it. Says Gemara, but why? Why is that his responsibility to tell him what he sold him? My Dianle, what does that mean that he should tell him? May the yad in the Mekachtos have. Don't you know what you're selling? Meaning, he knows that it's a mekachtos. He probably knew his own shar. This was your shar probably for the past few years, and you're selling it now. What, you didn't know it doesn't have teeth? Of course you knew. And therefore, what kind of taina? You should have told me what I sold to you. You're the seller. You're supposed to know what you're selling. Says Gemara, not necessarily, because b'safsira, d'zavan mehachum is amin mehachum. We're talking about a broker. We're talking about a middleman. That he's not selling his old shard that he knows the ins and outs of, but rather he's selling a shard that he bought 2 minutes ago and he's flipping it for a profit, and we're dealing with a type of broker like this, and that's why he doesn't exactly know, and he has this taina that, listen, you should have realized and you should have told me that it didn't have teeth. I would have quickly given you the money back and I could have done something with it. Says Gemara Hilkach. Therefore, Rami Rahama Paskin's like this, since it's a little bit unclear what to do over here. The original seller, he's going to make a shvua that he didn't know that he sold them a shard without teeth. And the bakra, the shepherd, is actually going to be chayev, not the full amount, but may basar bazal, but a cheaper rate, which comes out to 2/3 of the full value. There was a person that was mafkid kshuta, which are hops, which is the key ingredient for beer. So he gave his friend hops to watch. So this person that was watching the hops, he had his own little pile of hops. So the sarsay, he told his sarsay, which is like his shamish, he told his gabai, mehai ramai, go get some hops from my pile over there and make us some beer. So also ramai, so this shamish, he went, but he took it from the wrong pile. Instead of taking it from the balabais's pile, he took it from the pile that belonged to the mafkid, the pile that this balabais was watching for this person, and he turned it into beer. So Amar Rav Ram says, how exactly are the dayanim going to down this case? Why? Because namely, the day zil shleim, are we going to tell the nifgad, the shomer, are we going to tell him that he's responsible to pay because his hops were ruined? Amar, he's just going to say, I told him to go and take it from that pile. I meant my pile. So it's his problem. Namely, sarsi zil shleim, are we going to tell the shamish that it's his problem because he took it from the wrong pile? Amar, he's just going to say, He didn't tell me take from this one and not that from that one. He wasn't so clear. And the end of the day, he was pretty vague about what he said. He said, go take from that pile. I'm supposed to know which exact one he's talking about. So he also has a tanya. But the Gemara says, the Gemara clarifies it a little bit, that if he waited, meaning he said, go get hops from that pile. And it was taking a little bit longer. And he knows that his pile is very close. And the pile that he's supposed to be watching for his friend is a little further than that. So if it took longer than the normal shear, normal amount of time that he could have gotten from the Shomer's pile, and you realize that if he's not coming back by now, he's probably going to the wrong pile. So if he took that amount of time that you should have realized he's probably going to the further pile, then he was Megaledas, that from the fact that he didn't say anything, he's clearly okay with this, and he's okay with his Shamash taking it from the Mafkid's pile, and therefore he's going to be chayv in that case. Okay, says Gemara, but we're talking about a case of where he didn't take extra time, and therefore it's not necessarily his fault. So what do we say in this case? Says Gemara, okay, I don't understand the question in the first place, because saif, maiv say the ika. And then the day, what hefsid is there? Did the hops get destroyed? We're assuming that he went to the hops and he made beer out of it. So he made a profit. So in the end of the day, whether he did it by accident or on purpose, whose fault it is, it doesn't matter. He made a profit on his friend's hops. He made a profit. So go and pay him now. So you made a profit. You made it into beer. You now have beer because of his hops. So what are we hacking? Whether you're chayv to pay him at all? Of course you're chayv to pay him. Even if this wasn't your fault at all, and then the day you had enough from his produce, so go and give him your hops, because you used his hops, and you made beer. That's what you wanted to do with your own hops in the first place. So you made your beer, you have your beer now, so go pay him back the hops, pay him back with your own hops, or something like that. What exactly is the question? Meaning it doesn't matter if it's not your fault, and then the day you had enough from your friend's produce, so you gotta pay him back for it. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sama Brei, the Rav Rav Sama says, in the name of Rava, Davish Shichro Chala, we're talking about where it went bad. These hops went bad. The vinegar, the beer turned into vinegar. It spoiled everything. He didn't have any anah from it. And therefore, the question is, was he poshe that he's going to be chayev, or is he going to be potter? Rashi says, bechise. We're talking about where the hops were filled with thorns. It was very inferior quality. And also, same type of answer we just gave. It really didn't come out good. But in this answer of Ravashi, Misham demei kise, he's at least going to pay him this lower quality, this lower level, demei kise, the value of hops mixed together with thorns, that much he's going to pay him, because in this case, he actually got epis somehow not out of it because he got this inferior beer, so you're going to pay according to that.